test.
Check one, check two.
Check one, check two. So, Mikey, tell me about this this Korean skincare thing your wife's got you doing.
So
it's very masculine sounding.
You're fucking with me, but.
Welcome to the Carrie Croft. Welcome back. Once you've been here, once you're a veteran of the Carrie Croft Show, we dial it up a little bit.
I'll still be nice to Bryce
because Bryce is a newbie. We got the veteran, and he brought in his newbie, his partner. Oh, this is going to be good.
So I was just mentioning about how I was feeling a little shiny, I think, and I didn't want to be under the light in the second time on here and just be a grease ball here. So I was mentioning it's because I'm on this new. My wife has me on this new Korean skincare thing. It's basically like snail shit, and I'm putting like snail serum on my face.
So I'm twice a day. I'm peaked. So. Is your wife normally into skincare? Is this like something she saw on Instagram, or where did this come from?
It sounds like one of those like you saw it on Instagram and you just order it type things. But no, she kind of like dug for this and like found it, gave it to everybody she knows for Christmas presents. And then I woke up one morning after just being like, all right, get me. You know, she comes over and rubs me. I woke up in the morning and I was like, hello, beautiful.
Really?
To myself in the mirror.
So have you seen a difference?
I think it's noticeable. Especially when the bags under my eyes are as intense as they seem to be after a long life.
And it's always
of,
been talking about for 6 weeks.
Really?
I know. I'm trying to get him on it. So.
You haven't tried it?
His wife has my wife doing it.
But you're next. Like you just see, I know how the natural progression of this works.
She
you're
puts
next.
Lotion or whatever in front of me before bed. She's like, put that on your face. And but I don't know if it's that or not, but I just.
But you already look like a pretty baby.
Oh, you're
sweet. You don't look like you need anything.
I love this show.
Can I come back on this show?
Anytime.
All right, Bryce Ungerat.
Correct.
Mikey Sparrow.
Correct.
Welcome to the fucking Carrie Croft Show.
It's good to be back.
Let's just start it with the F word. You want to?
Good to be back.
So you were on, and we had such a bang-up time together. Mm-hmm. And I, you know what? You were one of those people. I was like, God, I miss him. I just really wish he'd come back.
I brought pizza.
And you brought pizza. We bonded.
Yeah, and I had to go make it, specially.
Yeah, because I'm high maintenance. And so then we started talking about partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, you have a partner. What's he like? He's the yin to your yang, right? And so you were telling me about Bryce. I'm like, we need to lasso this guy in. Mm-hmm. Would you say you're the yin to his yang?
Very much so.
In every sense of the term.
Yes.
And I understand the beauty of partnership and just sort of how it, when you do have complementary skill sets, how it can be wonderful. And then it can also be like, oh my God, right? It's just the nature of the beast. I can imagine this guy. I'm going to just say it and then you tell me where I'm right and where I'm wrong.
Okay.
I feel like he's the most likable. Like when you meet him, it's like, oh, let's go have some pops and like, I don't know. I just want to like know everything and I want to just be your buddy, right?
That's pretty accurate.
And he probably has this infectious passion and energy and you're like, and then when you get into an environment where there's like a spreadsheet or there's like a linear thought process or follow up, right?
Or a place where we don't need people to like you right now.
Right. Right. Where you don't, it's probably so hard for you to not be liked.
It's in business. I think it's childhood trauma. It's like somebody didn't like me before, and I was like, I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, I think naturally we all want to be liked.
Sure.
You know, there's that book like The Courage to Be Disliked.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of this book?
I have not.
I think
you got a present there that you should be buying for me.
Yeah.
Well, we all want to be liked naturally, but I've always kind of had the courage to just like when push comes to shove and something needs to happen. I'm the person that's like, okay, this is business. Like, right. This is the order of business. And it's not comfy. Feels real uncomfortable, but it has to get done.
Sure.
Where I think 98% of the people want to like run around the block and kind of hide in a corner. It's just natural, right? So, but you, are you the more tempered? Like, what's your, I'm just getting a dose of you right now.
Sure.
So I'm, you know, my mental, my Bryce folder right now is going. Dur, 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 dur. So what, like, are you just more of the acquired taste, a quiet guy? Like, what are you socially or just you as a person?
I'm a pretty intense guy. So I think from a business standpoint, I think I just know what needs to be done and then we just take care of it. And at the end of the day, if anybody gets thrown under the bus, I hope it's me and not him because it's important that people like Mikey. I think it's important that people like me too, but we have different angles on things. And so it works out. It gets harder as the years have gone by just because of the size we are. right? When you're a small, you know, one or two unit shop, everybody's, you're just family, right? Everybody's working together and doing that. But now we got 160 employees. It's difficult. There's process, there's procedure, there's things that you got to follow. And if we don't, it has a big effect, you know?
Oh, I mean, the effect is like lights out.
Yeah.
You can't, and that's what I, you know, I've experienced as an entrepreneur and having, you're right, you hit it on the head. It's all ooey gooey in the beginning. And yeah. You know, it's this family type environment where and that can get, you know, if that's okay, if you want to stay there.
Yeah.
But I think that has its own level of dysfunction, right?
There's a lot of lines to get crossed.
Oh listen, I believe me, and me coming from corporate America, I had to really round out my edges because I was now in this entrepreneurial environment where everybody was like offended or, you know, I was like, wait, I just got my balls like chopped off every day at AT&T. I mean, it was like a kind of a sign of like, I love you. I mean, it was like eat or be eaten, you know? Yeah. And so it's really, if you don't figure out, like when you're like, we're on to something here, we have something. And if we want to scale this puppy, things are going to get less fun.
To an extent. Yeah.
You know, yeah. They are. I mean, you'll have different fun, but you know, it's not fun to put processes and procedures in place. It's not fun to have hard conversations and to lose fast with employees who aren't delivering. And how fun is all of that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially when you get out of the phase of like all your friends work with you. And that is a very specific time of entrepreneurship. And that's in the beginning. And then you have to cycle out of that. And the process of getting out of that phase is hard and it sucks and it's shitty.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of part of the process of growing up as a business is that, you know, some of them make it and some of them don't. And when they don't, it's just really fucking hard.
Yeah. You have to adapt or die. I mean, if you want to grow, without question.
Agreed. Now, did you open on campus yet or is that happening?
No, that is going to be this summer.
This summer you're opening. So you guys are, though, for what you can share, like your idea, like you are scaling, you're going to go and you're going to open on campuses.
Mm-hmm.
Like what's the strategic conversation right now?
Sure. I think right now, really what we've identified at OSU and what we're in the middle of the process of is let's get that open and really, cause it's a little bit of a different animal for us. Right. So like typically we are a summer driven business, like a Q2, Q3 driven business where this is a little bit different. Where the summer might dull out a little bit as opposed to peak. So the seasonality of it for us is something that's different, but is also really sexy at the same time because kind of traditionally with our business, when things are down, this will be up. So we have kind of like this competing kind of, I guess, you know, models going on. So we want to measure that, but at the same time, we're identifying certain campuses and areas based on demographics and size and things like that that we would potentially put new locations at, and we're having those conversations right now.
So what is your background?
Prior to this, I've been a business owner for about 23, 24 years. And so when I was in college, I started a software company with another friend of mine. And so we started that in like 2002-ish, 2001. At the time when we did that, I was interning at CompuServe. Okay, from Columbus remembers CompuServe. I was in IT there, software development specifically. And so, you know, they got acquired a few times and we broke off and started our own company doing kind of the same thing that we were doing at CompuServe in 2002. So I've just been heavy IT and we sold to like, you know, Fortune 50. So, you know, you just talked about your corporate background. I was a heavy corporate background. Mm-hmm. Like I was Silicon Valley meetings type stuff. So, you know, transitioning from, you know, late nights or over to late night slaves was like, holy shit, what am I doing?
Sounds familiar.
He hasn't stopped saying
it actually still is, right?
Well, what was the draw that, like, why did you
late night slaves?
Was it because of this guy? Like he was like, oh, you,
did, it wasn't did
he,
not because
did
of
he me. Did he woo you?
More of begging, but no. So Mike and I have known each other since
5 or 6. Yeah, sophomore.
So we've been
sophomore
really good friends, and I moved to Columbus to go to college. Mike moved to Columbus to get drunk, and so our friendship continued. But no, he had the idea of Late Night Slice initially, of course. And when he was getting it started, he kind of forgets this part, which I think is funny. He needed a little bit of capital. When I mean a little bit of capital, I mean a little bit of capital. He's like, I need $1,000. I gave him $1,000.
I don't remember that part.
He always forgets this part.
Were you drunk?
I may have been drunk.
Well, we were probably both drunk. Why would I give him $1,000? I think it was just to kind of get ovens or a stone or something like that really early on in the shack. Again, I wasn't operating. I was like, here, buddy, I'm never going to see this money again. And after a couple months, I mean, I'm sure Mike told the story last time, just kind of how it progressed and things. And he did a really fantastic job, you know, just grinding it out and like being the operator. He came to me and said, hey, I'm thinking about getting a food truck, essentially, after we did Woodlands and stuff. But essentially, he's like, I'm thinking about getting a food truck. And I said, okay, how about this? I'll buy the food truck, but then we're going to sign some papers. And so at that point, it was like, let's make this a company. Mm-hmm. And so I bought the food truck, and that was kind of my equity investment, I guess, into the company. This is, I guess, the way we've never really talked about that, actually.
That's fair.
What didn't you talk about?
Just kind of how we became partners as far as, like, equity partners and things.
Oh,
like
I was
going
to say you didn't talk. I was like, you clearly talked about equity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that at that point, it was like, all right, we're actually putting some real dollars in. Well, I'm personally putting some real dollars in this thing. He's putting tons of his time and his personal equity into this thing. And every dollar that you basically made at that point went into the company. And so we kind of slowly progressed from there. And then about 7 years ago? About 7 years ago, the company I started originally, my partner and I were just like, you know what? I'm going to move on. And so he bought me out, and the company's still going strong, and I'm big fans of theirs. And I was like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? And so I started doing this.
The shiny thing over here and making pizza.
And I thought, and I thought this would be a soft landing for me. I was like, oh, all right, this would be kind of something easy to do and just do something on the side. And I'm not built that way. So I went headfirst into it. And here we are, 7 years later. Still grinding.
So what is your superpower, though, in business? If you had to name one thing you could take to the bank.
I'm a very good operator. From an operations standpoint, that's my forte. It's what I'm good at. And I think just like building infrastructures and processes and companies, from that standpoint, I think that's my strength. I think on top of that, too, I love coaching. As far as coaching our staff and coaching our management team, putting together kind of performance improvement, things like that, and kind of helping them achieve their goals. That is where I like to live. But in the life of a small business, you live everywhere.
Right.
You
know is I mean? Financial also your forte? Like, are you into...
Oh, fuck. That's all I do.
So in the operation, you're setting all the budgets, and you're really good at... Do you like the financial component of it?
I've grown to love it because it is the heart and soul of a business, especially at our size. You know what I mean? Like forecasting,
and our industry.
Right. I think
it's a tough fucking industry, man. It's paper thin, but we've
what
done,
can we name one that's not
technology?
It seems from my perspective, every other industry.
See, when you talk to somebody in fitness, you're like, well, fuck, it's a great. I mean, I think it's just the nature of everything.
Sure. So yeah, it's been. I think that's the thing. And so, yeah, for me, it's operations, finance, and human resources. So that's where I spend most of my time.
What's your whisper brand?
Whisper brand?
Yeah. So whisper brand is like, what would people say about you that they would never say to your face? Like, what's that thing they say about you? Like, man, Bryce is really like X, Y, or Z. Like you're short, like the blind side.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that?
I don't... You could probably answer this question better than me.
Mikey's like, give me the mic.
People find him terrifying.
If I had to guess, I would say I'm extremely intense, but I'm also very, very fair.
Are you intimidating?
I think so.
Because you didn't intimidate me.
I don't personally think so, but I hear that a lot.
And, I can kind of see this. I can see it.
It's definitely one of the things I'm a little self-conscious about.
That you're a little too intense, like you need to kind of loosen up a little bit. Yeah, but I bet you probably like sometimes people are just built with this sort of intangible armor where, you know, you have to prove to me first.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to waste energy and time on a lot of stuff that's not going to be fruitful. So you kind of have to prove, earn your stripes. And then once that happens, you kind of crack open.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Just, again, this is kind of the way we're built. Like, I don't think I've ever backed down from a fight in my life. You know what I mean? So I don't run and hide. I just stand in the way.
Go back to why when you said you're self-conscious about it. But what do you just, because you wish you were more, like, why are you self-conscious about it?
I don't know. It's more of like.
Do you want to lay on the couch? We can actually move over to the couch you'd like.
Only if you got a thing of tissue.
and I have fireballs.
Yeah,
I'll go grab a sandwich if you guys want to do a session.
I'm liking this guy.
No, it's just like, you know, you walk into a room and, you know, I think it's always important to, especially in business, you want to command the room and guide it. And, you know, you walk out and like, fuck yeah, that was a good meeting. And then I'm like, oh shit, Bryce was a little too much there. I'm like, I thought I was perfect, you know. So it's like, I don't know if it's self-conscious. It's just obviously, everybody. You look at something one way, somebody looks at it another. You need to be aware enough to, you know, make sure that, you know, the movie in your head is different than the movie in my head. So you know, I don't know.
Well, it sounds like you have self-awareness because my dad's given me a lot of sage wisdom, but the one he always says, and it's always stuck with me, is like, we do not see ourselves the way other people do.
Correct.
We just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't understand that and listen to feedback and really let it register, because we all think we're great, right? I mean, you should, because you're living with yourself in this body. I mean, like, what's the options? Like, so if you don't like yourself, you got problems. But if the narrative you have about yourself is, it's probably going to be, if you're self-aware, maybe 80% in line. But if the narrative you have about yourself is like not in line at all, well, what the hell?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But it's not the fact that you're, you know, that you can register and have those conversations. Because when you're the guy that has to like be the guy, and you have to come in, because Mikey can come in and bada bing, bada boom. I mean, that's truly a very, you know, a positive thing that you're able to do that, because you're the good cop, and man, you get a lot of freedom doing that.
Sure.
Because I'm was this role that you have, and you're never gonna win all the time, right? You have to just do what's right for the good of the order and know that you've done your homework and you're doing what you can on behalf of the organization, and not everybody's gonna like it.
Yeah. Improve success, not just with the business, but personal success for everybody that needs it.
Yeah. And I mean, not that we need to go over your superpower, but I do want to hear it in your words again.
Well, I'll say what I appreciate about his approach is that it cuts through the shit. You know, you put me in that same position and I'm gonna try to warm and fuzzy it, you know, until it's dead or it didn't work or whatever. And maybe I'll get the result we need, or maybe I don't, or maybe it just takes too long. But sometimes you just need somebody to go in there and be like, here's what we're going to do and here's why.
You know,
and that's what you're going to do and here's why you're going
to
do it.
I always refer to that as like, if you can wrap a turd in a bow, if you're able to like take a hard, tough situation and kind of put a bow on it in a way that's fair and real, like that, you know. You can't let the turd just sit there forever and like go around the block and be like, doot, 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 there's a turd right there, but I don't want to dress it. Like, you know, it's a hard roll.
Sure.
It's a hard roll.
Go pick up the turd.
Yeah. Mikey's like, Bryce, listen, there's a turd right there, but I don't want to get it. You need to go get it.
I'm not the turd guy. And coming from someone of the young kids, I have to pick up turds all the time.
So. Now, so what is your superpower, Mikey?
I think what I bring to this, you know, it's very much changed, you know, when you're forming a business that is based on, I think, what people in our community gravitate to and what people in our community can be proud of, you know, that's essentially my superpower. That's what gets me out of bed. Like, I love to take something that our community doesn't have and develop it and make it awesome and watch people come in and enjoy it. And that brings me more pleasure than anything. But that changes as a company grows, because that superpower, when you already built something that needs to grow into many more of them, or if that's your intention to grow many more of those, you can't have that same superpower because you get distracted. And we went through a lot of years of me being like, well, let's try this, or let's try doing this in a place where we didn't do it. And I think, you know, if you'd ask both of us if we have like one regret about, you know, the last 15 years, and this summer's our 15-year anniversary of Late Night Slice, which is fucking crazy to a lot of people who listening to this. It was like 15 years. It's unbelievable. But, you know, if we would have been more focused in the beginning, I think we would be farther than we are right now. Not farther, and that's kind of a, you know, a subjective term, but I think if we would have been like, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do a lot of these, and we're going to put them in these specific places, I think we'd have an easier time, you know, at year 15 than we probably do right now, because throughout the years I was like, hey, I see something that I want to, and I'd scurry off, and he'd tolerate it and try to make it work, you know, and it would work or it doesn't or whatever. But I think as you get older, the creative, if you put yourself in a place where you can't be necessarily creative anymore, or your creativity has to be different than it was, you know, you come in, as opposed to building, you have to run. And I think that's with anybody in this position. You know, at some point you got to stop building and you have to run the business. And so finding my place within running the business has been a struggle, but you know, there's been some fun parts of it as well.
I've always said though, with you, it's like Mikey always has 10 ideas. 8 are terrible. 2 are fucking genius. You know,
that's just more than most people.
Oh, absolutely. And that's how he operates. And he'll never stop operating that way, which I think is
amazing. Yeah. But I do want to give you a huge compliment, because you know, you are Mikey's late night slice. The name is Mikey's for a reason. And there are a lot of people out there who wouldn't be able to take that approach, to look at it from a holistic perspective and be like, you know what? Like, I know this is my superpower, but I also know what needs to happen moving forward if I want to get to the end. That's not an easy thing for a lot of entrepreneurs to do, and a lot of them will fail before they will acquiesce or change.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is incredibly humble and mature and really amazing that you, at this stage of the game, can do that.
Well, thank you. It certainly didn't come easy.
I'm sure we spent
a ton of money
fucking
up along the way because of just, you know, essentially me being distracted.
Well, so back to that, because being a partner of someone who is like that, and you're not like that, you know, because you're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
So on one hand, like, Mikey's late night slice would not be here without this mentality and all these creative, like, you know, throw something against the wall. It wouldn't be here. You know, so you have that respect. But then after about the 5th year, 6th year, 7th year, where you're like, Jesus Christ, he fucking just called me and he wants to do a underground subway with a, you know, whatever the hell it is. Like, I'm sure your tolerance shortened. Yeah. And did it turn into you being like, Mikey, like, was there kind of a come to Jesus where you're like, dude, you can't do this anymore. Like, we have to focus.
Yeah.
It wasn't a street fight. And if so, let's talk about the street fight.
Mm-hmm.
West Side Story. Was that like that?
I don't think it was ever a street fight. In fact, I think it was rather recent, because, I mean, we just opened a comedy club about a year ago.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, looking back on it now, if that was the last stand, that was Mike's last stand. That's Mike's last stand. Even I was like, God damn it, Michael. I'm like,
why? Because it just was, well, first of all, it's completely different than pizza, right? It's like you just woke up one day and you're like, this would be great to like have a comedy club.
Because I don't look at it as, you know, oh, this is an entirely new business that everyone in our business needs to learn how to run. I look at it as, here's what our community needs first. And I'm kind of like, everything else is in the periphery. Like, oh, you know, the business will take care of itself. It'll just work. And now we're in a completely new business, and running a comedy club and a pizza shop are completely different businesses.
Right.
Yeah. It is what it is. But I mean, I don't think there was ever a stance, you know, like, as far as, to answer your question, it was more of, I think we're just really comfortable with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no problem telling you what's on my mind. I don't think you really have you're a little bit more guarded, but at the end of the day, you always tell me what's on your mind. And at the end of the day, I think we kind of made a decision, you know, like you said, we really kind of come together in the last 2 years. And it's really that we're a family. And so we make family decisions. You know? Mm-hmm. So between myself and my wife and him and his wife, you know, we try to approach things as a family. And I think that is really kind of given us a better avenue to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really nothing's off the table and there's no hard feelings. You know, we just move forward. And I think that's been a pretty good approach that we've had. And so far it's been successful.
Yeah.
So what then will you, because you are so naturally gifted at the idea, and that's where you your passion is. Like, that's what makes you happy and makes you tick, but you also have this that makes you happy and you want to follow through. Sure. So where do you fit? Like, what is it? What are you going to do?
What would you say you do here?
Where are we going to put you?
I ask myself that every day.
And
what do I do now?
So it's not from a sense of, I know you could add tremendous value.
Mm-hmm.
It's more where you're drawn.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
You can't help where you're drawn. And I believe me, like, we all are drawn to certain things. And I can totally relate to your situation. Like, you are drawn to, you know, figuring out that thing, that need, that how to curate an experience that's not already here.
Yeah.
So then it's not like, hey, Mikey, can you figure out a role here? I know you can do that. But can you figure out a role here and you're not going to die on the vine?
What are my creative outlets within the business presently?
Yeah.
So I have a couple. So I run the marketing team, and I wouldn't say I'm great at running a marketing team. I think if somebody like a C-suite level person that's been doing this forever, they'd crush me. And of course they would. I was never meant to be a marketer necessarily. I'm just a creative. So I have two avenues. One, building new restaurants. I love building new restaurants because that gives me a space to just, like, find fun shit to put in it and make a, like, literally create a space that people in our community can come and just fucking love. Two, it's being ourself online, and just, like, our building our brand equity and just being funny and having fun with Late Night Slice. I mean, if anything you can say about Late Night Slice is we make pizza fun. Like, we don't take ourselves too seriously. We've never been afraid to make dick and fart jokes. My only requirement in the very beginning is we keep shit out of pizza. That was the one thing. Like, we can't make shit jokes about pizza. There's our line. If you ever want to know what it is, everything else is pretty much fair game. But I would say those are my, like, outlets, is like keeping us on brand and keeping us funny. And then building new restaurants is kind of where I still get out of bed and still genuinely love what I do.
You know, you're crushing that part, because before I met with you the first time and I was, like, looking at Mikey's Late Night Slice website, I'm like, I don't know, but, like, I haven't liked a website this much for a really long time. It just screams the brand. Like, the brand is so dialed in. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's really good and funny, and it made me laugh. I can't remember all the things it was saying, but I'm like, I love that you're not afraid to just be, like,
sure,
who you are online. Because, you know, everyone's so buttoned up and curated and, like, we make pizza with the most homemade, fresh product straight from Italy. And the, you know, like, come on.
Yeah, I think actually Rick Rubin had a really cool interview recently, and he just came out with a book. I wouldn't say I'm in the middle of it, but I'm a thumb through it or so. And he had this really cool interview where he was like, you know, the customer is the last part of the equation. And he said, and this really resonated, you know, I think with our business and with us and everything, where he was like, you don't make something for the customer. You make it for you. And if you make something genuinely for you, the people will love it because they can see the authenticity and the something that you built that wasn't necessarily to please the mass. It's just meant to please you, and ergo, then people will love it.
Mm-hmm.
So that really resonated. And by the way, I'm sure that I just butchered the eloquent way that he put it. But
you didn't, because that was online. It was on a post.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And actually,
yeah,
well,
the last couple weeks.
It was spot on, Mikey.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so back to your comedy club.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you did have Dave Chappelle there, didn't you?
Yeah, we just had Mark Normand do a stop-in as well. He was just in Columbus.
Because I was really pumped that I was going to get tickets, and then I got blocked out.
Yeah.
Did you go to it?
Oh, yeah, we went to he's been here three times. He did two nights in a row. And then two nights, three or four.
Yeah.
And then he came back a month later, right before he went to New York to do his latest special. So he was trying out all his material. Kind of up at the attic. It's super cool. I mean, super flattering, one. I mean, just as a, you know, as a business owner, and especially like we've been talking about, somebody that creates something that, you know, I thought was underserved in our community, which is, you know, basically another place to go see comedy that wasn't just a bar that happened to do comedy, but an actual comedy club. And then to have, you know, arguably the biggest name in comedy come and do a couple nights there is, you know, like I said, incredible and really flattering. It's very, I don't know, it's validating.
How did you get him in there?
So the guy we have running the club now, his name's Bo. He just, you know, concentric circles in the comedy world. You know, luckily Dave's crew isn't that far away.
Yeah.
So, you know, people just started talking and they kind of liked what we were doing and what we stood for as far as what the attic was doing.
But that sounds like success is happening. So when you say the way you talked about it before, you were like, oh, this is the last stand. It made me feel like, okay, this has been a failure. This isn't working. So those two things to me are competing. So what's the crux with the comedy club?
So I think you look at it in two ways. One, like, is it creating, is it taking on a life of its own? And is it becoming like, in a weird way, an institution in Columbus? Is it becoming a church for local talent? Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. It really, I mean, it's taking on a life of its own that I really never thought it would. You know, the fact that we had, you know, Dave not only do two nights in a row, but then come back a month later, that was really validating. And then to have some other big name comics come in and want to do sets there, again, it's becoming a place where people want to stop in when they're passing through town or when they're doing shows here. On the other side of it is how much money the business makes. And, you know, when you're only open for 4 hours a night, five nights a week, you know, there's only so much booze you can push out of there. And there's only, you know, talent comes in, you got to pay them and everything. So, you know, metrics wise, popularity, we are through the roof. Our little thermometer is busting through, you know, as far as the business goes.
It's a money pit.
I wouldn't say it's a money pit. It's just not a money. And I think this is not necessarily our comedy club, but I would say comedy clubs in general. It's just not a huge money maker. It's a passion project.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally a
like a break even situation.
Ideally.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And for us, you know, I think the tolerance to just have another one of those things that, you know, isn't, you know, making enough to, you know, it's not a fuck yeah money wise.
Oh, right. And so, and then you, yeah. And then it's another thing you have to take. Everybody has a finite amount of time and energy and
right.
fucks
right.
to give.
Yeah.
So now I'm giving fucks over here and the P&L is like poop.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So it's the dichotomy there is really hard.
Right.
Because if it would just be any other business, you'd just be like, that's not making that much money, or it's not making enough money to make it worthwhile. And, you know, we should think about moving on. Now with this thing, this is really taking on a life of its own, you know, like in a lot more ways than one. So it's hard to have those conversations when you're like, this would crush dreams, you know, like and on 100 levels. So it's hard, you know, and I think that's for me, that was like, yeah.
I know, because you probably think through like, okay, how can we bring more revenue in? How can we? And then next thing you know, you're doing the opposite of what you should be doing. Is like now you're trying to re-dream up how you can, yeah. And then it just becomes like the kid that has all the problems, and you pay only attention to the kid that has the problems, and the other kids are like, Mom, Dad, what?
Yeah, we're hungry.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, have you guys ever done official business coaching, or do you guys just kind of have been so good with your families? Have you been able to just kind of like hash things out naturally between
as far as like just the two of us?
Yeah.
Like, have we had any like, what do they call
they
it?
Do therapy you know, business couples.
We've gone on a couple psychedelic journeys where some shit's come up. So.
Seriously? Oh, thank yeah. God you said that. Let's talk about that. Okay, wait. Did you do ayahuasca?
No, I've never done ayahuasca, though.
What'd you do, shrooms?
No, it was a...
I mean, probably.
Yeah, sure it was in there. Yeah. We went down to, you'd call it just a retreat. And
yeah, it was a retreat.
And they...
Was it just the two of you?
Special.
Let's set the scene. Was it just the two of you?
No.
It's like 10 of us.
Yeah, I would say there's about 10 of us. Took a bus down to greater Nashville area where there was some guys who kind of put on these retreats.
Administer and, it. And, yeah,
okay.
And guide. It was very guided.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very wet glove.
Yeah. So, but there was like, it was just the intention to experience it and have fun. And all that. There was nothing business related.
No, it wasn't like a business.
So then, can you give me your, I want to know, I've not done this and I'm curious. So what happened?
So like from start to finish, I would say, you know, they check you in, they get you ready for the night. You get comfortable with where you're going to be staying, where you're going to be, you know, doing your journey at, and where you're, you know, basically where you're going to be living for a night or two. Then they kind of bring everybody out and you just talk about like what the approach is going to be, how they're going to do it, you know, just making you comfortable with what's about to happen. And they administer everything, and you're with a specific person, and you're sitting there with little headphones on and an eye mask and a specific set of music that you like, a playlist that you cannot deviate from. Like, it is this very specific guided playlist in order that you have to listen to, and you're like, don't ag your shit, don't start listening to Black Keys or anything. And you have a guide that, you know, is constantly checking on you just to make sure everything's good. You got a pad of paper or a little like voice recorder just to you know, log anything, any visions or anything that comes up. And it's the experience at the end. You do this in the daytime, by the way. This is all completely in the daytime. It's not like a night party, which is kind of the common. I guess when you think about like dosing yourself, you always just think party dose.
I think know, whatever like it is, and you're cabin just like, in the woods, peanut butter sandwich, like sprinkle the mushrooms on.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
just
yeah.
eat the peanut butter
and
sandwich.
And then you're always at night, and you know you're kind of partying and whatever. This is just a daytime thing. And
were
you
in the room together, all of you, or everyone's in their own room? When you have the headphones on, and they give you the dose.
In a room.
So, yeah. but not all 10 of you.
No.
I ended up, so it was my, I think when we went down, it was my second time down there. So they gave me like the nice, like spot by, it was like one of those like swing beds. So it was like a queen size bed, but it was hanging by like four chains and it was looking out over a pond. And the pond happened to have, it was an old like Boy Scout ranch or something like that. And it happened to have this like pirate ship in the middle.
Oh, great.
So I'd like occasionally wake up and just like be, like in this beautiful setting with a pond and birds and nature, and like it was incredible.
So, okay. Did you have the same experience? Was it a good experience? Like,
I wasn't
I'm
planning
nervous.
On talking about this today. So,
do we need to cut this out?
No,
okay.
It's fine.
I am nervous thinking, I feel like there's such a like, I don't know, like there's a guide and then there's all this, like it gives me anxiety kind of, like I feel like I'm going on a roller coaster.
So like what?
I was
super skeptical. Like okay. Super skeptical. I had so many freaking questions. And I still like kind of, I'd say I went in with an attitude, right? Again, just someone like myself who's very structured, very organized. This was structured. This was organized. It was, again, like I said, it was white glove. It was first class. Mm-hmm. Like it was done super well. I 10 out of 10 recommend. Absolutely.
So what came, so you said some things came out. Were you guys together when they came up for you? Okay. So are you allowed to talk when you're doing this?
No, you're by yourself.
You're by yourself.
There was a point kind of at the end where they can bring, like they brought like my wife and I together when we were on it.
I see.
And they're just like, do you guys want to hang out for the, you know, remainder of this? And we were like, yeah, you're all wide-eyed and weird, you know. You're just like, yeah, let's talk.
That's and you probably have more breakthroughs and more, like.
I always say, how do you explain the unexplainable?
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's. I'm curious. Like, should I do this? Because you
yes.
really do
oh,
recommend.
100%.
100%. I think everybody should.
Everybody should.
So yeah. What are the? Did anybody there have a bad experience? Is it possible? I mean, I know it's possible, right? That's what makes me nervous. Is you're going to have like this crazy. Weird bad trip or so I don't know, like I would just get nervous.
It's with the cocktail they give you, and they never told us, we kind of figured it out, like I think I know what it is, but they never really tell you exactly like this much of this.
What's in it though? You have to know what's in it.
I mean, if I were to just like throw a dart right now, I would say it's MDMA and ketamine with a little bit of just some psychedelic, like a mushroom or San Pedro cactus, something like that. I think it's a combination of that, but I think it's very heavy MDA and very heavy ketamine. And it's practically impossible with that cocktail to have a bad trip. Like it just, because it's just all happy stuff.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's MDMA is just like happy, you know, it's just, you're happy stuff.
So can we do that like every day?
No.
Like what's
no,
the recommendation? This sounds like, this is like something I could use a lot.
In fact, you can't.
You could. I wouldn't recommend it.
No, you can't overdose on it. Like you can't do this 2 to 3 days in a row. You can't do it 2 or 3 weeks in a row because there's only a certain amount of like dopamine your body can release. And that makes, you know, these things make your body release it. At some point, it just becomes inactive. So you can't really overdose. There's no reason to. You don't want to. It's not like an addicting thing where you're like, I need more of that, you know?
Right.
You're like, I have no more dopamine to get, to give.
How often does an average person do it? Like, is it something you do like every 6 months?
I would say every 6 months at the most. Because you got a lot of work. When you break your, you know, break your egg open, like this stuff does,
right.
And it like, it sends you
it
into.
It takes a while to unpack it.
Exactly. It sends you into the depths of your mind.
Do they give you pre-work to do? Like set you up for any kind of like emotional, like do they have any kind of therapy recommendations?
It's actually quite the opposite. They want you to come in with no expectations and a very open mind.
Mm-hmm.
So then you leave and you're like, wow.
And then you leave and it's like, then the work begins.
It.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So you would say like it has really created changes for you in your life.
100%.
And with your wife.
100%.
Really?
Yeah.
okay, I like this. I like this advertisement. I'll try anything once.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, recommend it.
Yeah. My God. Well, you too. I mean, this just took a really great juicy turn. I didn't realize we were going to talk about this, but I'm so glad.
Yeah.
No, I'm so glad we did, because I'm so curious. I mean, everyone, unless you live under a rock, everyone's either doing it, curious about doing it, or you know, they're talking about it.
Yeah,
so, I mean, why not be honest about the situation?
It will be commonplace at some point, and probably within 10 years or so. Like, they will be, and they're kind of, it's, if you look in the right circles, it almost is, especially on the coast. Like, it will be a clinical thing, I think, probably within 10 to 15 years. Like, a very common clinical thing. Like, they'll be across the street at the, you know, Third Avenue Plaza next to the Bank of America.
God, I love that.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on an hour. I could sit with you guys all day, but we're going to have to wrap. Okay.
Right.
So here's my wish for you guys. Okay. My wish for you in my little pretend, what do you call those things? Those little what are the witches called?
Gazing
bubble. Now we're doing charades. What's that thing
sounds
that you
first syllable the crystal
globe.
Ball.
Ball. Yeah. My wish for you in my crystal ball is that Mikey's late night slice goes like to all these campuses, clearly crushes it with this authenticity and just like, I mean, drunk college kids need your slices. So that I love. And then I hope you make millions of dollars. And you'll go do something cool. And then you will freaking find something else amazing to do for Columbus that we don't have. So I'm excited for you to sell this puppy someday and then have all this money to be able to, like, do something else really fucking cool.
But until then, I can't do anything.
No, you can't. Until then, you're the chief marketing officer of Mikey's Late Night Slice, and keep your shit in line, all right?
You notice my eyes are straight down right now?
Keep your shit in line, Mikey. All right, and with that, if you're still out there following your girl, follow me on Spotify, YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. And until next time, go buy some pizza from Mikey's Late Night Slice, will ya? And keep moving. All right, guys, we're going to do some trivia. What do you think?
I'm ready.
Okay.